There is a protocol, a very specific protocol that has been studied and researched for quite a while. There's about 40 clinical studies on this protocol that all have been peer-reviewed, and there's different versions of this protocol, but they all have shown unbelievable physical benefits as well as emotional and mental benefits. So it's considered one of those totally insanely good protocols that isn't really talked about. Well, now it is, of course, but it hasn't been talked about because it's not drugs, right? It's not something that you can actually sell. And this is a particular protocol by a man who developed it, whose name escapes me right now, but I will credit him appropriately later when I look it up. And so what he's discovered is that when you have old stored, let's say, upsets, whatever that is, right? You have some old stored stuff in your system, then that stuff, until it's fully processed, sits in the part of the brain where fight or flight happens. And so there is essentially a threat stimulus given intermittently with anything that you haven't fully processed yet, or that you are consciously or unconsciously holding on to, both physically, emotionally, mentally. Right. So let's say you had a traumatic thing happen and you have had therapy about it and you've done some nonlinear about it, but you haven't done, when I'm saying I'm not done enough, that's not a value judgment, meaning you just haven't, it hasn't washed out completely, then it produces a threat response in that part of the brain. And of course, there's multiple of those, but there's typically a few areas that are particularly strong. And so this man developed a protocol which mentally, there's of course the bodily thing you can do with nonlinear and other somatic things, but which mentally pulls that stuff out of the amygdala into the prefrontal cortex where it just sits as information. And once it just sits as information, it no longer produces the alarm bell. So this particular protocol has huge benefits, believe it or not, with like a lower blood pressure, lower inflammation, a general physical well-being, as well as then the mental health and all of that. And it's super easy. I did, 6 or 8 rounds of it over the holidays, because I have a little bit more time over the holidays. So I went at it, and I sometimes went at it 3-4 times a day, but you're not necessarily having to do that. But I always like testing these things out like in the most extreme way I can, because then you know what needs to be done. But essentially, you know, the way it goes is you do 15 minutes 4 times. That's it. No, just total. 15 minutes 4 times. You can do 15 minutes 4 days in a row, or 15 minutes once a week. I did, I was on a plane that, for reasons I don't even want to talk about, took 14 hours for what typically takes 9 hours. And so I was on this damn plane forever. It seemed like we were never going to land. We flew all the way over the North Pole. I went at it an hour for 15 minutes for the entire flight, which was amazing, right? So you can go completely nuts on it, or you can pace yourself. And so you do 15 minutes and you write consecutively for 15 minutes. They have discovered that handwriting is better than typing, but if you can't handwrite, you can't type. Some people no longer can handwrite for 15 minutes, believe it or not. So yes, that's a whole other story. But so you write 15 minutes 4 times about the worst thing that has ever happened to you, right? So that's, and so you do that and you write it fresh every time. And then you'll see as you do that how the narrative slightly changes, and then you leave it alone and that's it. So how I did it, because I wanted to check it out, is I did it with anything I could think of that was bad. And I did longer stretches too. I wrote for like anywhere between 30 and 40 minutes. But I can tell you it had the most unbelievable effect, bodily as well as mentally. It was like somebody had taken like a bottle brush to my central channel and cleaned it all out. It's like that the beginning of the year came and I was like, like it was like such a thing. So that's a proven protocol to let the things that are back there producing fight or flight, and fight or flight is anger, right? That is anger, like it's a fight response. But anger is not always explosive. Sometimes anger goes inward. And in women, more often than not, anger goes inward because we are conditioned to not look ugly or scream or be difficult or, you know, any of those kind of things that are instilled in us since childhood, essentially. So you take it from there and you put it up front there, and there it can just be processed and it can also wash out much easier. So I would suggest if you know you are holding on to stuff, write about it. And the way you write about it is simply you narrate it. And any kind of thing that happens, you write it down, and then you stop, you close the journal. Some people in those studies would never open it again. Some people even burnt it. It's very funny. My cousin who lives in Hong Kong sent me this video of this couple somewhere in a park in Hong Kong. They're Westerners though, but they're, you know, in a park in Hong Kong. They're each sitting on a bench in front of a fire pit. And I'll show you. It's like amazing. And they're both ripping pages out of journals and burning them next to each other, which I thought was so cool. Right? So you could burn it after for extra effect, right? Or drown it, or whatever you want to, you know, do to kill it afterwards. Or you could leave it there and reread it, or whatever you want to do. But that's proven to be like one of those crazy effective tools, in addition to somatic work. And so what I did, and Tao did a few rounds of that too, to experiment, because she did retreat over the holidays, was I would write, do nonlinear, write, do nonlinear, write, do nonlinear, sleep, do nonlinear, write, do non, you know. So I'd just like intersperse it so that it would like sort itself all through my system. So that would be one way to work with anger. I would say you would pick one and write about that till you feel that that's done, and then pick the next one, and then pick the next one. You could do one on each relationship. You could do one on each parent. You could do one on, you know, I mean, I did one on the house burning, obviously, right? And I mean, I did like things, and then I could see, for instance, I did a whole like many rounds on when James died, and there really wasn't much there because that was such an extreme thing that I worked with it so intensely that there wasn't really, you know, there wasn't much there, but I went there anyway and I went through the whole. And then as I did that, I remembered things that I hadn't remembered in a long time. And I was like, oh, interesting. And then that was like a side road. And then I had to write about that, right? So you could have things that feel fairly processed, where you just pull aside. You can kind of parse it out and then work with it. And so that's the one thing. And then the other thing in general, when you look at needing to heal, the best principle for healing is that you do whatever you can to remove the obstacles to the healing. And so that could be physical loads. This is why often, you know, liver detox and stuff people do. Sometimes you have to do surgery. Sometimes you have to do, let's say cathartic psychiatric stuff or whatever. But you want to remove the main load so your body can essentially use all the available energy for the healing and not for the defending. So that's a general thing, is that you want to give your body enough space to actually repair and not defend. So you would do that mentally, you would do that emotionally, you would do that physically, where you essentially go, okay, I'm going to remove the big pieces, which is what you were talking about, you know, love lineage liberation, right? You take these pieces and you make it so your body don't have to contain toxic material, so to speak, but can instead repair what's left after the toxic stuff is removed. So that's a general healing principle, is lighten the load as much as you can so your body can focus on the most important thing. No. So when you talk about drainage, then what you want to look at is essentially not how can you make things drain, but how can there be less things to drain? Right, that's the kind of general principle. So whatever is in your mind about this guy, let's say, you remove that so your mind doesn't have to drain it on a daily basis. Right, and your mind can essentially just go, okay, now repair. We don't even have to say forgiveness, right? Just repair. No, that's a way to play with that.